Music and Booze with Mo is produced and distributed by the Center for Culinary Culture, home of the Cocktail Collection, and is available wherever fine podcasts can be heard. The Center for Culinary Culture, telling the story of food and drink, one taste at a time. Welcome to Music and Booze with Mo. I'm Mo Herms, and I've worked in the music industry most of my life, so have met some pretty amazing musicians over the years. I also love a good cocktail, and I've encountered some really interesting bartenders as well. It seems that there is a lot of crossover, so when I can, I like to talk to musicians and bartenders about music and booze. Join us at the bar, won't you? Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by The Mermaid, a cozy neighborhood bar with an aquatic flair in the Little Tokyo area of downtown LA. Open 7 days a week, featuring tropical cocktails and snacks, The Mermaid also has a daily happy hour from 5 to 8 p.m. Follow The Mermaid on Instagram at TheMermaidLA to hear about upcoming events and check them out at TheMermaidLA.com. Head to 428 East 2nd Street, Los Angeles, for a drink. Hey everyone, I have a guest today that I've been looking forward to doing for a while. His name is Eugene Lee, and he can be found at Big Bar in Los Feliz in Los Angeles, California. Big Bar is one of those really special places. It's little, and it's tucked away inside this big, beautiful patio cafe kind of place, and it really creates a wonderful sense of community, and they have a lot of fun with their drinks. And Eugene has been at Big Bar for the entire 10 years they've been open. They just celebrated their 10th anniversary. So let's sit down, and we're going to talk a lot about music and booze. We'll talk about Eugene, like, you know, his DJ days at UCSD when he was slinging craft beers, because that's what San Diego does. And then, you know, winding up at one of the best bars in the country, maybe the world.
Sure. There's lots of music to talk about. Sometimes there's not.
You're going to have to cut me off. I can talk forever about music and booze.
See, that's kind of what I figured. So I always start these things by having you introduce yourself and tell everybody who you are and where you work and all of that.
Great.
Go for it.
Hi, you're speaking to Eugene Lee. I work at Big Bar. Big Bar just celebrated 10 years, so I've been working there for 10 years.
Yay!
And I'm a bartender here in Los Angeles. I'm also an industry photographer, I guess because everybody says I am, so I am. And there I go. And I like music and booze.
I know. I think anytime I see, there are like three photographers who pop up whenever I'm looking at images from just about any online site or any magazine, and you're always one of them. It's like Eugene Lee
Shoots. Oh, cool.
So you always seem to be one of these people. And so you've got that. But I knew you were a music nerd. I don't think you've never played music, have you?
Very poorly.
Counts.
I've played music very poorly. I grew up like my mom, a Korean household. You kind of get, you pick one thing or another. You're like violin or piano.
Piano.
Like,
I was going to say, do you have to play piano?
I'll do piano because my brother did violin, and I actually love violin and music, and especially in like rock songs, like violin is like the perfect foil. But like, yeah, I played piano, and then I like grew my like dirty, like, Asian chin beard and tried playing guitar and being like an Asian Jeff Buckley. And I did a terrible job at it because I have a horrible voice, but I love music. So
were you singing too?
Yeah, very poorly.
Oh, I'm so well.
It was super earnest though, so I think like I definitely like wrote a few songs for girls for dates, and
Well, if
it
you were singing like Jeff Buckley, then you definitely wrote songs for girls.
yeah, I was going for the hearts,
Aw, that's
the heart
wonderful.
spaces.
Well, that's what a lot of music is, though. I mean, music is all about feelings more often than not, emotions of all types.
Yes.
So,
I think in an interview like Tom York did during the Okie Peter tour, he was lamenting at like Japanese journalists asking him a lot of questions about
like technique.
the cerebral aspects of his music, and he's like, I think he was like saying something like, I don't want like chin scratchy music. I want music that comes from the heart, or some, I'm paraphrasing, but like he said something like that. I'm like, fuck yes, I love that, because Radiohead can be cerebral, but really it's emotionally rooted, you know? So that's what I like.
Well, there's that bit in High Fidelity, you know, the line where he says something like, and this is way paraphrasing because I haven't seen the movie in forever. Something about how people of a certain age shouldn't be allowed to listen to music because it's all about heartbreak and it'll just destroy you for
Yeah.
relationships.
Yeah. That's the good stuff. The
I
heartbreak's the
know.
good stuff.
That's always the stuff that stays with
That's
you the longest.
the potent medicine. Like, you know, it's like, oh, hey, Eugene, you can only drink 80 proof whiskeys from now on. It's like, that's cool, but 110 would be even cooler. So give me the heartbreak, man.
Into the booze thing. So, how long have you worked in the cocktail world or, you know, in the spirits world?
Well, I'll take that, and I'll say I've worked in bars since I guess UC San Diego. So actually, I went to school in San Diego,
Oh, hey.
and I was a DJ at KSDT Radio, fiercely independent radio.
There you
Yeah,
go. I know it.
but there's this like independent like co-op pub on campus called Porter's Pub, and I was a beer tender there. So I got to learn a
Oh,
lot about like San Diego beer scene, which is fantastic at the
yeah.
time.
Yeah.
And then
And you
and I
totally know my
aspired to
hometown.
be a bartender at this Japanese Korean owned franchise Japanese restaurant. Oh my God, Kabuki. So I made like scorpion bowls with like half a bottle of Sauvignon Blanc, and like
Oh my
it
God.
is awful. Yeah, it was
Yeah,
awful.
At that sort of a place, especially in San Diego, a scorpion bowl is just supposed to be something to get you fucked up.
Yeah, let's get crazy.
It's like the Long Island iced tea.
So like a big bar, like proper cocktails, 10 years, and that's where I learned how to make like an old fashioned, and I need to know how to
Was
do
it
my
Big
yeast
Bar?
properly. It was Big Bar, yeah.
Oh, wow.
And so and yeah, it was. I'll tell you, we before the bar even opened, I was trained by four. It was the because everyone's like, did you go to bar school? Did you go to this program? Did you do Julian Cox? I'm like, no. It was actually Juan Sevilla, bar manager Dan Long was our beverage director, and Rich Andrea and Mitch Mia Saracen. The four of them trained the three of us. It was me, Matt Schaefer, and Rosie Ruiz, and we were the first class of juniors to come into Big Bar and literally learned everything from soup to nuts. Like it was a really cool, I think, once in a lifetime experience to learn that way, because it felt like a family, you know, and it
Yeah,
was
for
really
sure.
wonderful.
Well, Big Bear is a really unique spot because I lived in the Silver Lake Los Feliz area forever and I knew the alcove, but when people would mention Big Bar, I'm like, where is it? I go to the alcove all the time. What do you talk? Where's Big Bar? What is it? And it's just, you know, tucked away off in the corner on the other side of the bakery.
Formerly the wine and cheese shop.
Yeah, see? So I always was like, how do I keep missing this place that supposedly has amazing cocktails? So it took me a while before I actually ventured
Yeah.
in and went, oh, that must be it. So, I mean, what was that like? I mean, did that kind of help you develop slowly? Because.
It was cool, man. It was like, I'll tell you what, it's like working at Big Bar, let's bring this back to music, was like listening to Yo La Tengo. Like you're like, oh, that's a cool band. Like they're not like Radiohead. They're not, you know, Spoon or Slint or Mouse or Flaming Lips or even the Zeppelin. Like
Yeah.
it's cool. Like, you know, this is nice. This is friendly. This is fun. And then later, like you're like, wow. Like I can't imagine a life without Yo La Tengo, or like I Can Hear the Heartbeat as one in not my top 10 albums of all time. Like it's a sleeper, and I think a lot of it's rooted in like I don't want to like discount Big Bar and say there's like nothing cool about it, but I think the fact that we became such an insular, we're like, if the bars in the LA were like Game of Thrones, and you know, like 213 would be like the Lannisters. They're rich. They're everywhere.
Maybe
proprietors with, because they have really cool bars. They like, maybe they're like, you know, like the Tyrells or like kind of, or the Tark, or whatever. Anyways, the point is, big bars like Bear Island. Okay, we're like, we're not even like the Starks in the north. We're like a small island in the middle, a dot in the middle of the north. That's big bar, and I kind of love the cottagey feel of the place, and that's driven largely by the people that work there. Like, since we just celebrated 10 years, I'm actually working on a 10-year anniversary book, and I tapped a lot of regulars and former bartenders, and you know, my buddy Flo is in New Zealand right now. She worked there for 9.5 years. Yeah. Julie worked there for 9 years. Garrett worked there for 8 years or 7 years. Celine, who I'm currently running the bar with, she's worked there for 7 years. Like, you know, Mara's worked there for 10 years. Like, the numbers are stacked with the people that work there for a very long time, you know? Carrie recently just left, but she was there for almost 5 years. Dan for 4 years. Anyways.
Yeah, yeah.
My point is these are very important people to me. So, you know.
And, it has to be a special place to inspire that kind of loyalty as well. You know, that people want to stay there, and they are, and it very much gives off a family vibe. So something else that is really great about what you guys have done with Big Bar was, it's this little teeny place in this really nice, you know, it's not even a restaurant. It's like a cafe, like a all day, all night cafe, and it has this lovely little bar in the back, and it has established itself as a place to get a quality cocktail and have a sense of community and just feel comfortable and happy. And it's been recognized for that. I mean, a comparison I can make to it is like Dante in New York. You know,
Dante, right? Amazing.
Dante,
yeah.
Similar kind of thing. It's just this, you know, little Italian cafe. And then towards the back, you can get the most amazing Negronis and a top-notch Garibaldi, you know? and they're recognized too in that same way. And you guys did that starting from scratch, as you said, which is incredible.
And I think, like, if you look at, like, cocktails, like a Garibaldi, it's a two-ingredient cocktail, but must be handled with care and, like, some attention to detail. Same with the Negroni. It's a three-ingredient cocktail. It's like it's like writing a pop song. It's like writing a song with only three chords. Like, yes, anyone can do it. Everyone can fuck it up. And you can do it also really well. Like, you can fuck up a daiquiri. And that'll just tell you everything, wouldn't it? You know, like, you can go to any bar in the world and you can do the whole, I think it was Jeffrey Morgenthau thing. He's like, go to the bar, order a daiquiri, and then ask for the cocktail menu. And then that'll kind of like guide the rest of your night. So, you know, I think that bars that focus on some degree of history, some, you know, that rely on that end up being decent bars, because, you know, house cocktails are great and they're fun. It's always nice. I'm like a tourist when I go to bars. I love going to house cocktails. But you know, at some point you retire to your trusty sidekick, the Negroni or the Garibaldi.
Mine is actually daiquiri. I'm a daiquiri or margarita, which is the same thing. Just, you know, different spirits.
I love always trying to slide a last word in there.
Oh yes.
And I'll get one at most of my favorite bars in LA. So, you know, I think the last time I was at the Mermaid, I had the house drinks. It was a fun guest night. And then I think I heard the last word. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was wonderful.
Well, so, when we opened up, I told Katie, I was just like, okay, I love chartreuse a lot, like a lot. Mm-hmm. So, and the last word is one of the most perfect drinks. So if you can get down.
I mean, it's also called the last word, and there's something to the name and the vibe of the cocktail. Why does it sync up? Like, I don't know. Like, you know, why did so we're talking about music earlier, and, you know, the Midsummer Fox was one of, like, I literally jumped out. I was riding the bike and listening to the Cocktail Twins, because sometimes I don't listen to instructors. I just like to listen to my music. And I was listening to the Cocktail Twins. I'm like, holy fuck, we gotta change the name of this cocktail. Like, it's the Midsummer. I mean, the whole name of this song is Frau Frau Foxes and Midsummer Fires. And I'm like, I definitely can't call it Midsummer Fires. There's a bunch of fires happening outside my house right now. But Midsummer Fox, like, that has like a vibe and an energy that evokes that cocktail. And Anyways,
so what was it? Because I didn't get to try the Cocteau Twins menu. I remember seeing it online and I was like, oh God, if I have time, I need to get there. So what was that cocktail?
I did it for Record Store Day. So our buddy Daniel Jang, who you know, Thirsty in LA, I love him because he does, there always is room for music and cocktails in his universe. And I respect that. And so when he wanted to, so Record Store Day, just like Negroni Week, was all set in like, beginning of summer, it's, like June or April.
Yeah, it's usually in April.
And then everything was canceled and everything was shoved off, you know. And so Record Store Day, I guess, was like a month ago or something. And so he asked if, because I had said, oh, I want to contribute one of these days. And so, you know, he's like, well, dude, Midsummer Fox, that's perfect. Cocteau Twins, let's talk about it. And it's their 20th anniversary or something coming soon for Heaven or Las Vegas. And I'm like, okay. Yes, so Midsummer Fox, and then the other one. So it wasn't like a Cocteau Twins menu, although we will absolutely do that. the other one was my favorite Cocteau Twins song called Cherry Colored Funk.
And this is a
cocktail. So Cherry Colored Funk was...
That is my favorite Cocteau Twins album, by the way.
Oh my God. It's because it's so joyful. Yeah, it's jubilant. It's you kind of can tell what Elizabeth Frazier's saying.
She was just starting to speak a touch of English instead of her dream language.
It's a perfect album to me. And and Cherry Colored Funk and Midsummer Fox's, bookends to the album, you know, the beginning and the ends. And Cocteau Twins have really good track ones and really good closers.
They do, yes.
like go through their entire catalog and look at one and then the final song, you're like, whoa, like these guys are amazing. Cherry Colored Funk was made for one of our New Year's Eve countdown menus by Garrett Hansen, bartender who worked there, like I said, like 7 or 8 years. And it was originally called the Mon Jovi, but I asked for green. Mon Jovi's a cool name. It's a Jamaican rum themed Jack Rose variant with lots of Angostura and absinthe. So like,
wow.
That was a Mon Jovi, but I'm like... This cocktail is too perfect to be called that. Can we please call it the Cherry Colored Funk? Because literally, it's my white whale I've been chasing since I started bartending is, what cocktail can I name Cherry Colored Funk? Because that is the fucking name I can think of. And the other one was the Midsummer Fox, which my current kind of lead at the bar, Celine Martinez, she and I were playing tennis during, like, right when... We were trying to open and do a bar thing and in the summer. And we were like, we just really want to make a Cosmo that you can drink like in a highball that people can just crush on the patio all day long. And so that's what Midsummer Fox ended up being. I think both song and cocktails, there is a through line in them. It's not like an arbitrary name. Like, I'm not going to, you know, whatever name, like, I don't know, like, Redeemer. Yeah. I'm not going to name that like just like a daiquiri variant because it doesn't make any sense. Like, you can't just drop like cool songs you love names on random cocktails. That doesn't make any sense.
Well, when you said Cherry Colored Funk, I'm like, well, wait, did it have Agricole rum in it?
It had Jamaican pot still rum. Okay, and I believe it had cherry hearing.
So, yum. See, so it's perfect. And, you know, I actually ask quite often in these interviews, I'm like, have you ever been inspired by a song to create a drink? Have you ever, you know, has something lent itself to it? But I already know from years of seeing big bar menus that you guys definitely pull pop culture references as well as musical references all the time, but integrate them. Pardon?
Did I meet you, by the way, in, I think I first met you during one of our mixtapes.
Maybe?
Like, because you were like, I loved you. I was like, okay, this chick's cool because I knew because you were opening Mermaid because you were like, I love this playlist, and you actually like paid attention to it. Thank God, like somebody like notices like all the order that I put that in. But,
well, I remember anyways, meeting Flo there years ago. I can't remember. I mean, I would go there with Chuck and Wes ages ago.
Yeah.
But I also had really short hair, and it's just, this is COVID hair now.
Yeah, we all have COVID hair. My wife hasn't cut my hair in like 3 months.
Yeah. But you know, that's something I definitely noticed about you guys, that you for sure linked, like used that to be creative with, you know, took those titles, took those references, took whatever, and then used it to inspire, you know, whatever you guys are creating behind the bar. And I think that is totally noticed when it works. Because sometimes, you know, like you said, somebody might just, you know, make a drink and then call it Rebel Rebel. And you're like, what's rebellious about this drink?
Yes.
And then it's like,
Rebel Rebel, it's a rum and coke.
Yeah, I know, right? It's like, there's not even should there be something spicy in it or something? Yeah, it's kind of more fun when there's a story behind it. And you guys are so good at doing that. And I think that too builds that whole sense of community behind the bar.
I think for the 80% of people, like if you were there with a couple of friends, if your friends are like, this tastes good, I love it. Totally awesome. Glad to take their money. If you like point out, wait a second, what are you playing now? Ooh, this cocktail's tasty. Like that's, they say it in songwriting, right? You're supposed to be as specific as possible to get as much people as possible. Mm-hmm. The more general you get, the more watered down it is, the less you'll bring people in. But the more specific you get, and I think that rings true of any kind of art and any kind of beverage making too, you'll find your crowd and they'll find you, and and just make it good enough that it's not so esoteric that
you don't want to eliminate it except
for that one nerd who's like, ooh, interesting, clean and very interesting.
Yeah. Exactly. You don't want to make anyone feel left out, but you definitely want people to be intrigued.
Right.
Intrigued enough to come check it out and be engaged.
You know, making a cocktail menu is like making a mixtape for someone.
Oh, yeah. Because
you get like, I don't know, unless you're like one of those crazy bars, but you don't get like 50 cocktails and, you know, like that's too much. Like think about it. Every cocktail menu is probably like 10, 12, 8, somewhere in there, right? 5 is too small. That's like an EP. Like that doesn't even count. That's like that's a guest night menu. 10 is like a good number. 12 is also good. So this is like, you know, pre-Spotify youth. This is a standard LP length. It's a cocktail menu. And so if you just have like 9 Benedictine cocktails, then you're an asshole. And you clearly want to like alienate people. But, you know, or like if you have like, I love mezcal. I'm drinking mezcal right now.
Yeah,
and I love mezcal. If you have like 5 mezcal cocktails, then like, unless you're like a mezcal bar, then like, you're kind of being a dick, you know, like make some things up, you know?
I love that you plan that, or you think of it like an album, like a start to finish. You know, you talked about the Cocktail Twins having a first and last, you know, and having a menu that has a flow to it, just like a track listing, you know, there are still artists and still quite a few artists who actually take care in the order of these things, you know, and look at all of that. And I've long noticed that the correlation between music and hospitality, you know, there's this creativity that exists, you know, obviously if you're making music, there's creativity there, but I think in food and drink, there's a very similar creativity there too, because you have to find things that are harmonious, things that are going to work together, you know, when you're creating these drinks and stuff. So when you first started over at a Big Bar, do you remember when you made, when you created your first cocktail, like your soul, this is your baby. You came up with it. You tested it. It worked. It wound up on the menu.
Did you hear about the tequila lifeboat story? Is that what you're referring to?
No, wait. But now that you said that, in the back of my head, I have heard. But you have to tell it now.
The dreaded tequila lifeboat. I told this in a podcast back in the summer for Living Proof. Australian folks. And anyways, I owe them an avocado cocktail, I realized. But the tequila lifeboat, I'm going to do this quickest version possible. Okay, so Big Bar just opened. As I said, like I just learned how to make a mojito properly. I just learned how to make this weird magic potion called a Sazerac. It blew my mind. I couldn't sleep that night. I was so excited about a Sazerac. Like I learned how to rinse a glass. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I know.
It felt very new to me. And I think that day in bar school, in our little like cottage in the back where they're teaching us different cocktails, I learned how to make a whiskey sour, and I was like, holy shit. I'm like, my mind is like forever blown. You're using egg white. This is incredible. Blah, blah, blah. So I think it was my second or third shift on. I was working a Tuesday night, you know, very, very lucrative, sleepy Tuesday night shift. Mm. And it was 10 minutes to close. And I was cleaning my wells and doing all that. I had like 20 customers that night. It was banging. but
for
yeah,
that space, that's a lot of people.
Girl came in and she was like, hey, I know you're like, looks like you're closing up. I just like really want a cocktail, like just anything with tequila. Like I just really need a drink tonight. And I was like, okay, you know, it's just kind of cute. And I was like, well, actually, I've been working on something. Cause I think I pitched like, oh, I can make you a margarita or a Paloma. She's like, no, I want something like just different. Are you working on anything? So I'm like, yeah. I'm actually working on this cocktail called the Tequila Lifeboat. And can I make it for you? And she said, yeah, I'll take it. So I made it. It's essentially a reposado tequila sour, mm-hmm. with like muddled oranges and habanero agave and lemons in it too, and egg white. I think it's really tasty. So I made it for her. I was so proud of this stupid cocktail. I don't ever make cocktails, honestly, but I was really proud of it. It's like my third shift. She drank it. Blew her mind. She came back, had 5 minutes to close. She's like, that is the best tequila drink I've ever drunk in my life.
Oh.
I took a lot of tequila cocktails. And it was Kirsten Dunst, by the way. So I was like, holy shit. And I think at that point, I'm like, wait a second. I don't know if she gave me her card, like, to hold the tab. I was like, wait a second.
Oh.
Oh my God, this is Kirsten Dunst. Like, bring it out. But she wanted to order another two for her friends so they can try it. I'm like, yeah, I'll make it. Made it. And then we had officially closed at that point. Like, I was counting money and stuff, mm-hmm. like that. And it was a big rule, like, don't open the door when it's closed.
Yeah.
But she, like, the door was left open. She came in. She's like, I can't stop thinking about this cocktail. Can I just have one more? I made her a third Tequila Lifeboat. And I was just like, this is the best night. She was awesome. She gave me a really generous tip. She just really made my night, because I never made anything before, and this was so fucking cool. And so I was reveling in my, like, you know, how cool I was. I told bar manager once at the end. He was just shaking his head. He's like, Eugene, you know, like, egg white is ketchup for bartenders. And I'm like, yeah, but it's really good. And so. And I get it. As a bar manager, I get it. And I was just like, why don't you learn the house cocktails first, and maybe like how to make a French 75, and then you could start making cocktails. So, you know, I'm like, totally cool. I get it. So that Friday, I don't work Friday nights. So I'm a junior bartender. Of course, mm-hmm. not. So I'm there with my roommate, Rishi, and we're sitting on the patio. We're enjoying drinks, and I'm telling him the Kirsten Dunst story, and he's like, ha, 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 that's amazing. And then fucking Kirsten Dunst walks to my table.
Oh, no!
She's like, hey, dude, I noticed you're not working tonight. I'm with all my friends because I love that cocktail.
Oh, like, no.
I tried ordering it at the bar, and the guy in the bar won't make it. Do you think you can, I know you're off right now, but do you think you can, like, make one for me? And I looked in the bar, and it's Juan. He's sitting there, like, stern face, vest on. He's weeded. I'm like, oh, no, that's the manager. Like, I can't. I'm so sorry. Like, you know what? I'm not allowed to, and I can't. Like, I'm sorry. He's like, oh, okay, well. And then, like, 5 minutes later, Juan walks up. This is a short version, by the way. Juan walks up.
This is amazing.
He's got a cocktail napkin and a pen, and he's like, will you just write down your fucking recipe on this napkin? I wrote it down. I gave it to Juan. And she came back. She's like, hey, listen, I just want to say thank you. Like, I know it's your day off. I don't want to disturb you.
Yeah.
And I just want to let you know, like, he doesn't know how to make it the right way. And I was both, like, terrified, but also a little bit happy.
I would have been a little bit happy, too. Yeah.
Yeah. It was neat. Anyways, when we it's never been on a menu until, like, 2015,
mm-hmm.
and I put it on the menu. Aaron Alvarez was our bar manager at the time, and I told him the story. He's like, dude, put it on the menu. Who cares? So I put it on the menu, and the last ingredient was Juan's disapproval, and we had a bottle, and I found this old passport photo of Juan when he was in the Air Force. He used to be in the Air Force,
And was he looking like all grumpy?
He looks like this huge Samoan dude, and I put his face on this bottle, and you're supposed to, and there's nothing in the bottle, but you're supposed to take a drop of it, drop it over just to the live podcast. It's disapproval, so, you know.
Oh my God, that's amazing. That's amazing. Yeah. I don't think that in my years of asking people that question, has there ever been one that's been quite as memorable as that? I bet we are in LA, so the chances of having like a celebrity endorsement are a touch grander.
I thought it was so cool. Like, listen, like celebrities, like obviously like in bars, like you see them and it's cool.
Yeah, well,
it's like,
you're in Los Feliz.
Everybody's a professional. They play it cool, you know,
yeah.
But like
you're in Los Feliz.
I had no chill on this one. Like I was so stoked.
That's kind of great timing, too, that she approached your table after you told your friend this whole story.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
And you're like, see, I do not lie. Yeah. Well, do you have, off the top of your head, do you have any, like, do you have a favorite, cocktail that was inspired by a song? You probably have so many. But...
I mean, that cherry-colored funk that Garrett Hansen made it's probably one of my favorite cocktails. You know what? We have one on the menu right now that we actually, we're keeping on. We're doing this like 10-year greatest hits anniversary menu. So we're doing five from like years.
Is that live yet?
Five.
Or is it, are you going?
It's going to go live if we get our act together on Wednesday.
Okay.
It's we like every bar out there, we're scrambling. We're trying to go, oh, these Halloween boxes. You know, anyways, but it's their first cover. We've had on a menu, and it's Strawberry Swing. On the menu, it's clearly labeled Strawberry Swing (parentheses) cover by Frank Ocean. Because no offense, but we are not a Coldplay bar. So we're not a Coldplay bar. Strawberry Swing cover by Frank Ocean is the full name of the drink, and I love it. And it's a beautiful strawberry sidecar variant that Celine made, and I'm goofing on because. The first thing we had talked about when we were planning to make a new menu was like, we really want to just do a rad strawberry sidecar and do something with 1738 Cognac, which I love, and Ventura Spirits strawberry brandy. Mm-hmm. Like, we just need to do something with those two things. And then we ended up smooshing them, and it made sense with Strawberry Swing covered by Frank Ocean, which is a beautiful cover, by the way. And sometimes covers are better than the originals.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I'll have to check that one out because I haven't heard that. So I'll have to go dig it up and find
it. Great cover. I think it's on Spotify. I don't know if it was an official album. It might have been like a benefit album for something.
Yeah, and sometimes it's, especially with him, it's something that pops up like on a mixtape somewhere. And
yes,
that mixtape
exactly.
was only out for a little while, so you have to like find the website that hosted the mixtape and download that. You know, it's like there's a song that I love that my friend's band covered, and it's a Frank Ocean song. And I love my friend's cover of it.
What is
it's,
it?
It's the song Love Crimes.
Okay.
And... my friend's band is the Afghan Whigs. And so
love Afghan
Whigs. Yeah. So cool. I love their cover of Love Crimes. It's so good. But you know, that's a band that always was into the soul and everything, right? So they could do that stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I really need to hear the original of this because I love this version so much. And I just I think I found it on YouTube or something. You know? I'm all, where does this live normally? How can I find this?
Mo, were you a big like Napster and then like Kazaa Lite and like LimeWire?
Napster,
like,
LimeWire. LimeWire, yeah, totally. Totally dug stuff there. I haven't looked at those things in ages, but I swear somebody recently posted a picture of I think LimeWire and I'm all, does that still exist? Can you still get stuff on that?
I mean that was I hit my heyday in like first year of UC San Diego and I would just spend nights and nights and that was like a really cool way to discover music then because you would find all these bootlegs and like, you know, live cuts. So I worked at the KCT radio station.
Yeah, how long were you there? How long did you DJ on the radio?
I was there for 2 years.
Cool.
So I only went to UC San Diego for 2 years, but in those 2 years, I really made the most of it. I did everything. I did, like, I don't know if I did student government, but I did radio station, did the pub, I rushed a fraternity.
You had the entire college experience in two years.
I just smashed it all in because, like, why not, you know? My radio station, like my DJ name was Hugenius Lee Rectus. Stupid, like high school sounding name. But anyways, I would be such an embarrassment. Like I would play like Godspeed You, A Black Emperor, and I would merge in Elliott Smith and Modest Mouse and Yeah 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 EPs, and then read my Spanish homework over the top of it. Like it was like,
were you on late really at night, or was this in the middle of the day?
I was like at 3 p.m.
Oh my God, I would have been so annoyed
with
you.
So I was that DJ from 3 to 5. I would torture these poor kids like studying for their finals and stuff like that.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
It was really cool.
I took my brother to see the Pixies at the Price Center when he was 13.
That
was his
first
show.
Nice, nice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that was the Doolittle tour. So that's telling you how old I am. And I don't even know if the Price Center still exists. I don't know if they still
do. Yeah, it was there when I was there. So that was 2002 to 2004. So
yeah, yeah. And so when I was in high school, which was in the 80s, I would, because San Diego didn't really have 21 or they didn't really have under 21 places to see bands. But a lot of bands would come and play on the steps at UCSD.
Oh, cool.
And I can't even what the steps. It was near the Price Center, but they just play for free. They just come in and set up. And I don't know if they did it through the student union or something like that. You know?
I saw in that Price Center steps, I saw Mitt Romney give a speech.
Whoa,
there.
Wow.
Like just throwing out a little political wonkiness. But that was really cool. You know,
yeah,
like
no,
when
for
I saw
sure.
It.
For sure. I went to school at Berkeley, so we had that stuff.
There, you didn't do like the Che Cafe that wasn't there?
Oh, Che Cafe. Well, see, I left San Diego in 87. So okay. Che Cafe was my brother's era. So my brother, because he played in a band, and he played at Soma, and he played at Che Cafe. And
Soma,
he, you know,
nice.
Yeah, played all that stuff. So that was also the 90s.
My favorite Che Cafe show. So I saw Bright Eyes there during the Lifted tour.
Ooh, wow.
And I saw fucking Mars Volta there, man. It
oh,
was
that's
crazy.
Amazing. That's amazing.
Holy shit.
I'm trying to remember if it's still there, but there was a place called The Spirit that was kind of inland somewhat. And when I turned 21, I could go there, and I was really lucky because when I turned 21, Nirvana played there, and this was pre-Teen Spirit.
Cool.
So, nice. But I was already working in college radio because I was at KALX in Berkeley. And so,
oh, cool.
So we're all KUSN, we're all UCR Radio Network, UC Radio Network people.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I already knew who they were, and was so excited to go see them there, and I still very vividly remember that show. You know, and I was like just barely 21, and that was the only reason I got to see it. You know, San Diego
There's got to be more underage venues for bands,
right?
Like, there just does, because like what it's like the perfect age to like
totally
infect you know, like
I used to see bands like at the YMCA.
Yeah,
you'd get these punk bands that would play at the YMCA in the gyms, and that was like all you could get. It was so funny.
Yeah.
But I love that you were there DJing and torturing people. That's fantastic. You know,
yeah,
you,
you
so
know, I couldn't play music like sing and play music well, so like I might as well.
That's
just,
what
like,
I always say.
Nerd on music, you know.
I was like, I can support those who do. You know what?
Yeah,
I can sing along
exactly.
In the privacy of my own car or my own shower and not offend anybody. But of course, now we have karaoke. So if you used to sing Jeff Buckley, like, then you got to tell me what your karaoke go-to is.
I cannot like anywhere near his register. So
and few can. But when you go when you do the karaoke, what do you do?
So, well, when I do karaoke, for some reason, I like the band, but they're not like top 20, but I would always do like Fortunate Son by Creedence Clearwater Revival. I don't get it. I mean, it's a really, that's like one of their best songs. It's one of the best songs, but like they don't even register in my top 100.
It's a good performance.
It's a fucking
song.
Cool song. Man.
It's good to, well, the song. Some folks are born, silver spoon in hand. Drinking some mezcal, and there's a question I always ask, and this kind of relates to it. Which mezcal are you drinking?
Deanne Quinones gave me this really wonderful Brujo number two. It's the Espadín Barril.
Ooh.
As like a kind of like a congratulations on having a baby. This whole having a baby thing is great. People give me booze, like, you know, poor wife is just like,
I was gonna say, your drinking buddy can't drink with you during this time.
I know.
So you're taking it for the team.
A lot of drinks after this whole pregnancy thing.
Right.
I, you know, I she is the best drinking buddy. And it is such a glow during COVID. Like, she can't smoke weed. Can't, you know, like, she can't do a lot of this. She can't eat lunch meat. You know,
oh,
like,
wow.
You know, what else? No sushi. Like, come on, man.
She's got to sit there and grow a baby instead.
Raw deal. It's a raw deal.
I actually have a lovely baril in my bar, my little home bar, and I can't pronounce the name of the people. It's El Hoglio? Hogloria? It's got
El
really,
Hoglorio?
That! Yes. I can never say it.
That's good shit.
That's like my favorite mezcal is that. You'd think I would have learned by now after all these years how to say it, but it's one of those words that in my head I just always trip up on and probably will for another decade.
Because it looks
like a beautiful watercolor.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm always like, it's a very pretty label, but that's the Brill I have hiding over there. And I'll probably.
That's how I feel about like the Cocteau Twins lyrics. It's just.
Yes.
Like, the words are kind of not the same thing as the sound. And so.
That's because
El
Hoglorio's they're not.
Label is a Cocteau Twins song.
It is. So, that's very good. Very good. It's, I mean, she admittedly creates her own language for all of that stuff because, you know, that's how she expresses it. So when she pops up on a This Mortal Coil thing, suddenly singing in words or Massive Attack or something, it's still beautiful, but I'm just like, there's something, it's weird. It's weird to hear her singing things I understand.
Hey, is it just me, by the way, with Massive Attack? Is it just me or did that whole reveal like Banksy is the dude from Massive Attack, was that just like kind of like thrown as an aside? Like,
is that real?
Kind of a huge deal?
Is that real?
Isn't it real?
I don't know. I've heard so many Banksy is this guy.
Are you peddling conspiracy theories here?
Over the years. Well, okay.
I thought like the Banksy artwork that popped up followed a Massive Attack tour. So they're like, oh, it's the dude from Massive Attack.
I don't think it is. The reason I don't think it is, and this is friend of a friend kind of talk. One of my best girlfriends, sister to me, one of her best girlfriends used to date Banksy.
Oh.
so that's
Is
only like,
date, like
that's
just
only
a
like,
shadowy figure
that's like
or
two
like...
removed. Now she never met him, but she knew of him, so so she knew his first name but didn't know his last name. And that friend of mine, when they all lived, you know, now my friend lives here in LA, at the time was living in New York, and she did music journalism at the time. So if it was related to Massive Attack or something like that, you know, I mean, I think that would have gotten out a little sooner. Not because my friend would have betrayed
anyone. We need to
get
that friend really drunk. Find out.
Well, that friend.
How many last words do you think it'll take to get the answer?
That friend does live just down the road from Big Bar. So she's been there with me before. I'll drag her
How
there.
Many gallons of tequila I've got to give her friend to?
She does love the agave. So this is what my question was going to be. If you are, you know, if you're home, you're home. I don't have to say if you're home. You are home. You're home. You're chilling out. You're sipping on some mezcal. If you weren't talking to me right now, what would you be listening to with your mezcal?
With mezcal, okay. With mezcal,
I mean, if you have all kinds of pairings, you can tell us. But I like to ask people, like, when you're sitting home, chilling out, sipping on something, listening to something, what is that? What is that combo for you?
That's a really great and important question. I think that, well, let's break it down. So, like, if you're drinking mezcal neat, that means you're in maybe kind of a wind down meditative state. Like, you're like, you know, I want to, and to me, mezcal is exciting. So, like, you know, I want something that's going to be stimulating, equally as stimulating. So, you know, I will listen to maybe like the new Tame Impala, which is not new anymore. Maybe I'll listen to something that like is nostalgic and try to like, you know, like tap into to enhancing the feeling. I wouldn't just like listen to like Buena Vista Social Club or something like Latin. Like, I think that's too easy. I think that, you know, like maybe nothing but words actually. So maybe like I like listening to Krongbin would be kind of fun.
Oh yeah, actually that would work nicely.
Yeah, maybe some like, I mean, I was thinking about our talk since you had brought it up a while ago. Because it's important, like, I mean, to just me, probably.
No.
Literally not anybody else, not my cat, not my wife, not my husband. you know, but like...
But it's obviously like, important to me. I formed a whole podcast around it.
Like, I could do this every single day. But like, no, I think Maybe like the Flaming Lips Zurika album.
Ooh.
Is it like those four discs that you're supposed to play at the same time?
Oh my God.
We got four boomboxes and we literally have four CDs. We have to play at the exact same time, like the Wizard of Oz Pink Floyd thing.
I was going to say,
it was amazing.
So you have done that?
Yes, of course.
You listened to it that way?
Yeah.
Did you sit on a stool in the middle of the room with all the speakers around you for it to work properly? How did you
physically... We had four boomboxes in every corner of the room, correct? Uh-huh. And we would practice like 3-2-1 press, or is it 3-2-1 is press? So like we went through those rules,
oh,
and then we did 3-2-1 press, but it had to go in that cadence, like 1-1,000, 2-1,000, 3-1,000 play.
Yeah.
And then we would hit it. And then we would just sit in the middle of the living room. We had moved the furniture around to like just so we can sit there with our beers and just like vibe. Turn the lights off, of course.
Incredible. Incredible.
And just be a bunch of virgins in the middle of the room, you know?
That's awesome. I love that you did that.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've hit like about the 45-minute mark, so we probably should wrap it up because we could, I know.
So fast.
Do
yeah.
this forever. That's why when you were like, should we talk first? Should we warm up? I'm like, I don't think we'll have to.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that we're going to be
fine. I like
the
free flow of nature. This is the like interview jazz, you know, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it's kind of like, I want to talk to you about music. I want to talk to you about booze.
Like,
and
next week we can talk about mezcal and post-rock, you know, or
right,
whatever.
Totally. Or, you know, we could even switch over if you want to talk about rum in the summertime.
Yeah, rum and only summertime tracks.
There you go. See, we'll just do another. Yeah. We'll do a part two. Maybe we'll do a gin spring one to go with all the botanicals.
Yeah.
My husband loves to say botanicals.
These are really good and important ideas.
See,
like,
here we go.
I will
put on my face shield and my mask and we can brainstorm at the bar.
Yes, sounds good.
But yeah, so it's probably a good time to remind folks if they, you know, of course, Big Bar is an LA spot. So anyone who, whenever you can travel, you want to come to the Alcove and find Big Bar tucked away inside. But let people know of your Instagram and all that. So where they can find you or where they can find the bar and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so Big Bar, you can find it tucked away inside Alcove. We have three spacious patios to enjoy all your wonderful cocktails that you'll get from our sushi bar, aka Big Bar, because basically the sushi chefs are back there making stuff and then they send it out and then you can like wave to them through the bank glass, you know, that we
right.
have. But yeah, no, I mean, it's really a lovely hang.
It's beautiful there.
I forget sometimes that like you can just sit on this beautiful patio and
yeah.
leaves are falling on your head and it's okay. And
it's a beautiful place. And you guys are doing to-go like right now, right? You're also doing the to-go.
We're also making a to-go experience because, you know, obviously, you know, and understandably so, we respect that some people feel much safer at home and we call it our Save the Home Cocktails. And so what we're doing with all the cocktails, we're having a QR code that you scan and you can watch an instructional video that's
mm-hmm.
poorly shot and edited by myself, featuring most of my bartenders. And this time for the 10-year anniversary menu, we'll feature all the original makers of the cocktails.
Aww.
Taking a scissor and cutting a bag and putting it as a mixology. Yeah, you can find us at Big Bar Alcove on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't like the content there, message it because it's me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying my best, you guys, because it's hard to wear like 1,000 hats at once. So
it's true. You are like, I mean, I know there's a lot of Big Bar, but you have worn so many hats and continue to wear so many hats within Big Bar.
I haven't done line cooking yet. So.
And then personally, you've got Eugene Schutz. So you've got,
yep.
So if people want to see beautiful pictures of cocktails from all over the place and some
yeah.
other things, mostly it's cocktails. And you shoot bartenders as well.
Cocktails, I'd say it's mostly bartenders.
Bartenders, yeah.
If I were to like properly
bartenders
do
with their cocktails.
Thing, I would do like cocktail, like 100 cocktail photos, predetermine them, but like I don't care. You know, honestly, the stuff that people mostly like seem to be my wife or my cat. So
you know,
if you want to see photos of my wife, cat, interspersed with bartenders and cocktails, like it's a great Instagram to scroll through.
There you go. Well, thank you so much, Eugene. It was so, so wonderful to get to talk to
thank
you about
you.
Music and booze. Finally.
And go to the mermaid, you guys. Like, we're not that far apart.
And actually, I've been wanting to talk to you forever. It's just, you know, it takes pandemic, I guess, because yeah. I just always know, I'm like, God, those guys at Big Bar, I know they love music because it comes up all the time with them, all the time, yeah, which I think is great. So
well,
thank you.
We love the Mermaid and everybody there. And obviously, I appreciate you and what you're doing. I think music and cocktails should never be a part.
Like, no,
true
they should
love
not.
Can never be denied.
It's
music
true.
And cocktails.
It's true. Yeah. Well, next time I'm running down to Big Bar, I'll like, my husband just lives down. My husband and I actually don't live together. We will eventually, but we got
New
married.
Podcast.
We got married just before podcast or just before all this. So anyway,
oh,
he lives closer to you than I do. And
oh,
so
fuck.
It's something where sometimes I'll have him pick things up on his way. I'll be like, can you stop by Barkeeper before you come to my house?
I
ordered something. Just grab it, you know, when you're on your way.
You can't drop the headline at the end of the interview. Now I want to talk about, like, the situation.
That's our next conversation. Our next conversation.
Right.
And I'll bring him to the bar, too. He's been there.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, but thank
Let
you
me know
so
when.
Much. Oh, yeah, totally. You will totally hear. Thank you so, so much. And everybody, go support Big Bar if you can. I don't know if you guys have merch or anything that you sell online. Or anything like that. I think it's just locals
do.
Only.
We have silly stuff. Yeah.
Little silly stuff. There's something if you're far away and you're missing the family of Big Bar. But thank you so much, Eugene. Okay, I'm gonna turn this off. Thank you so much, Eugene, for finally being a guest on the podcast. And for those of you who haven't met him in person, if you get the chance to visit Big Bar at the Alcove in Los Angeles, he will probably be there. And he's lovely, a lovely human, in case you couldn't tell. And look up Big Bar at Big Bar Alcove on Instagram, and you can see all kinds of beautiful pictures of their food and drink, and a lot of them are taken by Eugene. Thanks so much again for tuning into that one. Of course, we'll have info on the Spotify playlist, and you know Eugene has a really good one posted over on the Facebook page. Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by Barkeeper, a head shop for cocktail lovers, located at 614 North Hoover Street in Silver Lake, Los Angeles. Stop by for barware, vintage glassware, a carefully curated collection of spirits, and one of the most impressive selections of bitters anywhere. Follow them on Instagram and Facebook for information regarding spirits tastings. That's barkeepersilverlake.com. And also in the Virgil Village neighborhood of Silver Lake, Los Angeles. Thank you for tuning in to our barroom chats on Music and Booze with Mo. For more info about today's guest, or if you want to connect with me, check out my Facebook page, Mo Herms. Please subscribe to the podcast and feel free to tell all your friends about it. While you're there, give the show a rating and a review. It really helps to get the word out. If you want to hear the playlists our guests have curated, search SheBMO on Spotify, SheBMO. Find pictures of the interviewees and the cool stuff they create on the Music and Booze with Mo Instagram account. Lower your expectations and join us at the bar. Till next time, cheers.